praise you. We want to thank you this morning again for the sacrifice of Jesus, for his salvation that he wrought upon the cross, that you sent us your only begotten Son to live a perfect life and to be an example for us and to teach us, to bring us your word, to be the Lamb, the sacrifice that could take away our sins and give us hope of eternal life with you. And Father, as we look unto him, the author and founder of our faith, we pray that you would help us to be more like him each and every day. And as we study this book of James this morning, we pray that it would help us in that endeavor, and that as we learn about facing trials and temptations, that we would understand everything that those trials and temptations bring us in our lives, the opportunities for growth, and that we would, as James tells us, count it all joy when we encounter these things, as difficult as that might be. Father, as we are going throughout this service, we pray that everything done here would be pleasing in your sight. We pray for all those that are leading and teaching today. We pray, Father, for this church as it seeks to be a light in this community, and we seek to be your people, and we seek to bring the lost unto you. Father, we pray that you be with us and strengthen us in this dark world. Father, forgive us when we fall short of your glory, for we all have sinned. But Father, we know that your grace is great, and that your mercy is great, and that you are patient and kind and forgiving. And we pray, Father, that you would forgive us as we forgive others. And Father, we again want to thank you for your grace. And Father, as we go forward this morning and this week, pray that you help us to be all that you would have us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, James chapter 1. So 3a, we were talking about last week learning to respond to trials and temptations, and we were talking about different situations or different Christians that we know that maybe have responded well to trials and temptations. And this morning, the first question is 3a. Kind of wanted to get off on the opposite foot, I suppose, and it asks to describe a situation where someone, or maybe yourself, handled a situation poorly, and maybe what happened, what could you have done differently, or how did you learn from that experience? Because it's not just the positive experiences that we learn and grow from. We can also learn and grow from the bad ones as well, and looking back and go, oh, wow, you know, I really messed up. I did the wrong thing there. Or maybe we learn from somebody else's bad experiences as well. That's why the scriptures are written down for our instruction, that we can also look and avoid the pitfalls of some of the characters of the especially the Old Testament. All right, so any thoughts on this one? Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so there's definitely a need for self-reflection. Right? Does anybody have any other thoughts? Really? Never seen anyone handle something poorly. I mean, you don't have to say their name.
Back on my life. But I can look back on.
Yeah, I mean, being able to use your own previous experiences to counsel others as well is a very important part of life, of our, you know, community together as families, as Christians. Did I see a hand back here? Okay. Yeah. So I think one thing that's interesting about this text is it says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, he doesn't even really necessarily say when you are tested and, man, you just pass that test with flying colors. Like, He doesn't say that. There's opportunity for growth either way. Whether you pass or whether you fail, there's opportunity for growth. And so we just need to make sure that we're taking the opportunity when we do react poorly to learn from those mistakes. And so I think a lot of times what happens is when people don't do well, it's because of some classic mistakes. I mean, you lose faith in God. You start questioning God, questioning his goodness, questioning motives, asking, well, why? This isn't fair. I think a lot of times there's just a blaming of God, right? I mean, that's something that I think we certainly see in Scripture. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? I mean, it's your fault, God. Why did you make this tree? Why did you give this woman to me? So people start blaming God. And I think a lot of times, too, it's just because there's a lack of prayer. And not encountering a trial with prayer is going to ultimately probably not wind up very good. That's just kind of where I wanted to go with that. The next question, though, is, so how does James tell Christians to respond with trials, and why should we respond in this way? He says to count it all joy. Okay, well, why? Yeah, so because joy produces patience or steadfastness, those trials should form us into better Christians, and that's a good thing. We should be glad about that. So then he goes on to say, count it all joy. I think it's the same word here that's used when the Hebrew writer talked about consider Jesus, right? Consider this, consider that. And it's, again, it's more than just a passing thought, but a very thoughtful, deep evaluation that happens to regard it or evaluate it as such. And so that means we need to be giving thought to the things that happen to us. We cannot just go off of our emotions. What happens, what problems arise when we are guided by our emotions? Yeah, we mess up. Those things can lead us astray very easily. And so we need to kind of sometimes do that self-reflection, spend some time in prayer and thought and meditation. And so I think there just kind of needs to be this thought progression of, well, why, what just happened? How did it happen, or why did it happen? Could it have been my fault? Is there something that I could have done better to prevent it? What good can come from this? What can I learn from this experience? How can I become a better Christian because of this? This is consideration. It's counting it joy. It's using it as an opportunity for growth. Keeping, I think, all the while in the forefront of our minds that God is in control, and that everything that happens is his will. And so there must be a reason for whatever it is that we're experiencing. There has to be an opportunity to grow in it. And that, knowing that, that knowledge should give us, should help to give us joy even in some of the worst situations that we might experience. Before we move on, though, so off of that topic entirely, there was a question that I received. Last week we had a lot of discussion, and a lot of people kind of opening up, and that was good. And there's this word kind of gets thrown around of internalization. All right, well, I internalize it. And I think maybe some folks were like, well, what does that exactly mean? And I was kind of like, well, I think that's a really good question, because it means different things to different people. And I have a hard time defining it. I almost feel like it's one of those things that's like, well, I know what you're talking about, but I can't really put it into words so much. But I wrote down a few thoughts that I had on this. But does anybody have any want to kind of expound on what they mean when they say that? Okay. Yeah. It's bringing it inward. Okay. Considering it. Very good. Yes. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah.
It could have the positive connotation where you are considering bottling it up.
Right.
And festering on it. Not.
Yeah.
Depending on your perspective and where you are.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think that's why the question arose, because it's like, well, is this a good thing or is it a bad thing? You know, and it's like, well, it can be either. And I think it just depends on who you are, where you are, what you're doing. And that's, at its core, it's about taking something and looking inward, okay, going inward with it. But that can be either way. Mike, did you have your hand up? I know you're out there in the foyer, but you can yell. No, okay, he's good. Trinity, you used that word last week, but do you want to try and define what you mean by that or no? Yeah, and that's kind of the definition that I came up with is, in my head, when people say that, I tend to view it more from a negative connotation. That's just me. But it can be positive as well. My thought on it is, well, it's when I'm going to try and just bottle this up. I'm not going to talk to anybody about it. I'm going to try and figure it out myself. I'm probably going to blame myself. For whatever is going on, is this my fault? I'm going to shut it up. I'm going to shut it in, and you're just kind of making it a part of you. And if it's all just in here, then that can be a bad thing. Now, the question that was asked was, well, you know, my feeling is whenever I encounter something, I avoid it in the sense that I just kind of, well, I'm just going to give it over to God. Is that internalizing? And it's like, no, I think that's the proper response, right? And it doesn't mean that you're not dealing with it. I mean, I think that's dealing with it in the right way, is saying, I'm not going to let this overwhelm me, and I'm just going to give it to God. I mean, that and pray and read the scripture and let things, you know, work themselves out. I think that's a proper response, in other words.
That praying to God is looking out.
Right.
Is looking out. Have as far as.
Yeah. But again, at the same time, there can be that positive aspect of, well, I'm going to look inward, I'm going to evaluate myself and see what I could have done better, and focus on that and try and grow from it. I mean, that there's a positive aspect too.
The outward part still comes.
Yeah.
You still need to pray about it.
Right.
You still need to study about it, so there's an outward perspective to it.
Yeah. Okay, so hopefully that kind of helps answer the question of what do we mean by that. So the next question on your question sheets, though, is, okay, well, what is joy exactly? And I think the better way of asking that is, what does James mean by joy? Okay. Evaluating how we go through trials. How do we typically use the word joy? Happiness. Yeah. Delight. Yeah. Yeah, no joy in knowing that God has overcome the world, certainly. And so I think there's the biblical way of defining joy is a little bit different. It's more intellectual, if you will. There's a thankfulness involved. You know, well, count it joy when you encounter various trials. Well, how can I count that joy? Well, because I'm thankful for the growth that it affords. It doesn't mean that I'm just like, oh yes, you know, I broke my leg. Like, that's not. I mean, I don't think God expects us to be just like shouting for joy whenever that happens. Like, you know, but at the same time, it means that we just have to realize that in every situation, that God is still with us, and that there is always going to be some positives, right? Yeah. So the ESV Study Bible says on this, it says, when trials occur, count it joy, not meaning worldly temporal happiness, but rather spiritual, enduring, complete joy in the Lord. And I think that's the key. In the Lord, who is sovereign over all things, including trials. And so we find our happiness, we find our joy being in Him, being complete in Him, and what we are going through working in us, that towards working us towards that completeness. Tim, did you have your hand up? Right. Right. Very good.
Mm-hmm. In Christ, that like we're not perfect people, but that spiritual perfection we are cleansed from Jesus. Aspect of the way the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I mean, what does it mean by completeness and perfection as well? But, you know, the hard thing is that this is not the natural tendency. Right? It's not the normal thing to do. The natural tendency is to be upset or to be angry or to be confused. And so for the Christian, we have to make a conscious, committed effort to meet trials with joy. And that can only be done with it with a very thorough evaluation of a situation and why it's happening and what we can learn and grow from it. All right, so count it all joy. Not some, but all. And I think that's another difficult aspect of this. The next question then is, let's see, number six. How do people typically react to trials? And that's something we've talked about before, right? We tend to complain. We tend to hesitate. We tend to ask why. And then the next question after that, what kind of trials do we meet? You know, he says various trials. Well, what does that mean? Okay, external versus internal. So what do you mean by that? Okay, exactly. So external, things that are beyond my control, things that are done to me or happen outside of me, versus internal, things that, man, that's probably my fault. Okay, very good. Clint? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, very good. So the other thing that I was... I like the external versus internal. The other way that I thought of this as well is I think there's going to be certain trials that we go through just because that's life, right? You know, whether it's, you know, death that we have to deal with, or whether it's, you know, just difficulties with our jobs, with our families, whatever the case might be. I mean, those are just life, right? But then there's also, I think, in view here, trials that we're going to experience because we're a Christian. You know, that man, people of the world just don't have to deal with that because they're not struggling with resisting sin or persecution or anything like that. And so I think James is saying, whatever it is, whether it's just these regular difficulties or life, or whether it's things that you're experiencing because you're a Christian, whether it's something that's outside of you or whether it's something that's your fault, count it all joy, all of it, every aspect. We have to be able to count it joy. Again, why? Because the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And so that's the point, right? The point of going through all of these trials is to grow. That's question number 8. What's another way that you would put that? What's another way we can put growth? Wisdom? Yeah. Okay, yeah, growing our dependency upon God. I put down here producing spiritual maturity. Discipline. You know, and so some of these things, what's the point of growing through trials? It's to produce spiritual maturity. It's to discipline us, as the Hebrew writer talks about in chapter 12. It's to give us perspective, I think, sometimes. And again, I think it's to make us increase our dependence upon God. And it's to make us increase our desire for heaven. Because if this world were just all perfect and easy, then we wouldn't desire something greater. We'd want to stay here. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting advice from Facebook and Wikipedia is probably not the best place to go. Go ahead. Yeah, and it's difficult, right? It hurts. And what comes to my mind is that athletic metaphor, right? Or the person who trains for something. It's difficult. It's painful. No pain, no gain, right? I mean, that's the mantra. And the same thing applies to our spiritual exercise. It hurts, but it makes us better. It makes us stronger. It makes us more mature. And so we have to look at it that way. As from the discipline aspect, we got to look at it as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 11, about how he disciplines us as his children, and that's for our good. And it may seem unpleasant at the time, but why? He says, verse 10, he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. And for the moment it seems painful, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so I think that's how we are able to be joyful when we meet those trials of various kinds. It's not that we like pain, it's that we are thankful for what it produces in us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rewards are greater. So again, this is an intelligent joy from the mind, not from our emotions, which turns into... eventually, though, I think it does turn into, it affects our attitude, our overall attitude of just being a more joyous person in the way that the world typically thinks about it, because it's going to affect our outlook on life. It's going to affect how gloomy or depressed or upset we get when we do encounter various trials, and we are, I think, going to have a more a cheery disposition on a day-to-day basis when we have a proper outlook and perspective on life, and when we do make that decision as a Christian to be joyful. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Make it till you make it.
So you said, act yourself into a better way of thinking rather than think yourself into a better way of acting. I like that. Okay. Question number 10. All right, the testing of your faith produces patience. Name someone in the Bible whose faith was tested and how their example helps you. Tim? That's mine. Yep. Yeah, that's the first one that comes to my mind, no doubt, is Abraham. Specifically, the instance with Isaac in Genesis 22. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely was. And that's the first test, right? Yeah, and he obeyed. Right, so that's the first one that comes to my mind, absolutely. And he proved it, right? He proved his faith, and that is his faith that was counted unto him as righteousness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Job is another excellent example of someone who was tested. So how does Job encourage us, right? How does his example help us whenever we are in the midst of trials? This too shall pass. Perspective, right? Yeah, lots of tests and trials that David had to endure, for sure. And lots of patience.
He started when he was a young boy.
Okay.
Moses.
Yeah. Sounds like fun. Yeah. So, you know, as far as good results coming from trials, I mean, obviously he says here in the text, patience or steadfastness, and I think that's, but beyond that, I think it's also a learning to rely upon God, and I think that's the bigger concept here. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verses 71 and 72, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." So he values that trial, that being afflicted, because why? Because it pushed him towards God. It pushed him toward God's word, to learning his statutes and understanding its value. The law of your mouth is more valuable to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And so again, just pushing us towards reliance upon God. All right, so then he says, so what is it? It produces steadfastness or patience. What is this patience that we're talking about? What kind of patience is James talking about here? Courageous endurance, okay. Perseverance. Is this the kind of patience that it takes to... I don't know, when you're standing there in the Walmart line and there's one checker and 1,000 people? Sometimes. Or maybe you've been sitting there in the doctor's office for half an hour and you're like, what's going on? Driving to work into Houston every day. Sometimes. All right. I think, you know, overall, it's the ability to tolerate trying circumstances, to endure pain and misfortune without complaint, and to not lose our faith because of it. It's resolutely or dutifully standing firm and unwavering. It's more than just about, okay, I'm going to learn to wait, you know, for a little bit longer than I want to. No, it's about situations that are much more painful than that. And so, certainly there is a lot of room for growth here. And what he goes, let's see, next question here. What are some examples of trials in our lives that have shaped who we are now, both good and bad? I mean, for me, there's a lot. There's a lot. College was a difficult time for me. Going through my first training program as a preacher, that was difficult. That was painful. No, not that one. No, that was summer. That doesn't count. No, I'm talking about my first full-time gig. Going to Germany, preaching there, huge, painful growing experience, being on my own for the first time in a situation and where having to learn that everybody doesn't have the same perspective as people from Texas. Yeah, there's a whole wide world out there with people who think a lot differently. Even in the church. Difficulties when I wasn't preaching full-time. And then going back to college when I was working full-time and had two kids. A lot of growth and difficulty there. And then, of course, in between Jack and Aubrey, we went through two miscarriages. I mean, all of those things, They build upon each other. They grow. They grow you as a person and teach you a lot of things that you just don't learn otherwise. And they force you to rely upon God in ways that you hadn't previously. And so some of those things I did well. Some of them I didn't. Some of them helped me. Some of them maybe knocked me back a little bit. But you look back on it and you realize that it's all been in God's plan, and there's always a reason for it. And we can always, even if we didn't handle it right at the first time, that we can always still grow from it as we look back on it and try and gain wisdom. It's all about our choices of how we're going to view things, how we're going to learn from them. And we can either profit from them or we can be destroyed by them. And it's really all about our faith. And how much we decide to look to God, look to His Word, and look to Him in prayer. All right, we'll stop there, and we'll pick up next week with question, whatever that is, 14.